even when I worked in Little Rock, which is one of the most dangerous cities in the country, if you didn't know that, at no point did I ever have somebody just come up to me and talk crap to me or talk down to me like you see on the media. It was 100% people always saying, hey, good job, or they're paying for our food or something like that. You know, you have the support of the community. It's all a media spin to make it look like we don't.
Hey guys, check out the 2023 Street Cop Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, Gaylord Convention Center. It's going to be the event of the year. Keynote speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Navy SEAL Jason Redmond, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Marine Corps Special Forces and Leadership Coach Cody Alford, Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff David Clark, and Sheriff Mark Lamb. It's going to be one hell of an event. And on top of that, we have all of our instructors and additional instructors from other companies going to be at the event, giving you everything they know for you to have a successful career and get the results you want to get in the field as a police officer. On top of attending the event, you'll get face-to-face time with every instructor attending the event, and all the keynote speakers will spend time with you. We got special events all week, giveaways, nightlife. It's going to be really, really worth your time, energy, and effort. I promise you, you will not regret it for a second. To register for the conference, check out streetcop.com, click conference, and everything you need will be there on the homepage. If you are looking for a room, just click book a room. The block has been sold out at the Gaylord Opryland Convention Center, but there are many hotels nearby within a walking distance of the event. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. We will see you there.
111, 110. You trying to be a street cop?
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm founder and CEO of Street Cop Training, and today we have something a little different. This is a friend of mine that when I came to Little Rock for the first time, I'll never forget when I came there, dude, and you had a AR just laying on your fucking front seat. I was like, yo, I'll never forget that. I'm like, this is an AR laying on your front seat. You're like, yeah, that's about everybody around here. Gotta have fucking AR laying on the front seat like that. Right. And I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, yeah, dude, people just fucking drive around here with, for a guy from New Jersey, it like blew my mind that you guys just drive around with fucking rifles laying around the cars, loaded, ready to go.
Oh yeah. It's Little Rock, man.
Oh, it's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Sergeant Landon Rappold. Is that how you say your last name right?
So you got it close. It's Rappold.
Rappold. If you need him, yep. You know where to find him. So he reached out to me recently and said, hey, you want to talk about how he was able to start the process at his new agency that he works at now to really encourage and entice a lot of people to in recruiting efforts, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, and retention too. Not just recruiting, but mainly retention.
So look, before we start that, give us a little skinny and dirt on who you are and how long you've been in the business.
Okay. I've been doing it about 13 years. I've been in Arkansas all that time. Started at North Little Rock Police Department, which is regarded as one of the best agencies in the state. Worked at Pulaski County, which is the capital city county. Done a little bit of everything, SWAT, water patrol, a little bit of everything. I don't want to go through the entire list, but I've been a training supervisor and a training officer for about 6 years now in total. And that's kind of my passion. That's the thing I love the most.
And you guys like you to do the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's guys that want to make a difference are the most important, I think, in any agency.
So tell me, like, when you came to this agency and did you go to them and say like, hey, I think I could turn some shit around if you give me an opportunity? How'd it go?
So when I first came here, I'm big on kind of earning respect and earning your way. I didn't just come in and, you know, do a wrecking ball and want to tear things apart. I came in and kind of earned my place, showed them that I know what I was talking about. I came in with some experience and then just started tossing a little idea here or there about how to make things better. Got a really good opportunity. They never had a training position here. So when they created that, they put it an opening for it. I applied for it, had tons of history with it and experience. And so I got the position. And in this position, I'm an administrator now. So I've had the ability to make a lot of changes throughout the agency.
It's awesome, dude. So tell me how that started and walk me through it. Like, what were some of the first things you guys did?
So leadership is something everybody talks about. We had some people in the wrong places. They weren't doing things good for the agency. They were not well liked. There's bad morale in some places. So we kind of went to those people and had some talks with them. And honestly, they saw themselves out the door. They realized they were in the wrong position. They realized they were kind of getting some heat put on them and they went elsewhere. About a year ago, we had a huge change up. Our chief quit. Like I said, two of those guys left. that were in upper level positions, and they got replaced with really good people that wanted to make a difference. And from that point forward, we've just had a complete shift and changeover of our administration.
So who had the balls to give you guys the fuel and the backing to say, hey, do me a favor, go talk to these people. We can't have this shit anymore. Like, what was the origination of the change in your agency like that? What shifted? Who was the person you guys were able to talk to that gave you the blessing to start addressing some of these significant issues?
I got a two-part answer for that. One thing that's really cool is I'll say that the chief we have right now is probably absolutely hands down one of the best guys I've ever worked for in any industry, even retail, civilian world and all that. He's a great guy and he wants good things to happen. And so kind of what got the ball rolling is I was kind of the guy that people would come to for whatever reason. I wish I wouldn't have been that guy because it put me in some uncomfortable positions. But they would come to me and say, hey, I'm having this problem with this person, or this leader sucks at their job. And I would go talk to him and say, hey, here's a way I think we can improve. Or here's the overall mindset of what's going on in our agency. And like I said, he's a great chief. You have to have that leadership to make any changes. And he's been really open to a lot of the things that we've wanted to do.
That's awesome, dude. So I guess first things first, right? You're looking at this garden. You see all these fucking weeds. You got to go and start weeding the garden a little bit. And yeah, I guess absolutely. These people, they didn't want to take accountability for their action. They just decided to leave instead of getting in line to actually behaving appropriately.
Correct. And I think once you put pressure on people that don't want to improve or don't want to be better, it's kind of like peer pressure, essentially, truthfully. Once you put that pressure on people, they realize it's no longer the environment where they can just sit back and do whatever they want anymore. They're going to see themselves out the door because it's no longer just a gravy train for them.
Today's law enforcement officer is expected to perform. You know what I mean? Even though there's pressure from the outside and maybe, I guess, more than ever, quote unquote, people have expressed their discontent for police. But I actually got some theories on that. I don't think that's the truth. I actually think more than ever, people probably support the police, as nutty as that sounds. People try to tell themselves some negative story. But the reality is I think we're able to create the narrative. And outside of keyboard warriors, you know, in reality, I think you're hard pressed to go to like a carnival or a parade and have people walking up to you telling you're a fucking piece of shit, right? What are most people saying to you guys when you're working a parade or a carnival or some kind of event? They're saying, hey, thank you for your service. We appreciate you guys. So the hardworking, good American citizen is the people who are going to be showing their support for law enforcement. Would you see that that's a fair statement to say?
I'd say it's 100% correct. Even when I worked in Little Rock, which is one of the most dangerous cities in the country, if you didn't know that, at no point did I ever have somebody just come up to me and talk crap to me or talk down to me like you see on the media. It was 100% people always saying, hey, good job, or they're paying for our food or something like that. You know, you have the support of the community. It's all a media spin to make it look like we don't.
Yeah, people got to be reminded of that stuff. So, you know, with that being said, I'm glad that you guys recognize that leadership is the number one chief complaint of all police officers in this country. And then, you know, of course, I get this volley back in my face of, well, you know, you sound like you're anti-administration. No, I'm trying to improve administrations. There's nothing anti-administration about me. As a matter of fact, I am begging and trying to mold the future administrations to behave appropriately so we can have a profession that we can all come to and enjoy. Because the rest of the world is tough enough when we have our brothers and sisters being murdered. To walk back into a building and be treated like a piece of shit for doing one of the most selfless jobs known to mankind. I mean, think about it. How many people in this world are willing to run towards danger? Just think about that. Just that concept alone. When everybody else is running away from it, you know, and it doesn't matter who you are. 99% of cops have said, I'll be that person.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we've got to do better for ourselves in order to do better for everybody else. I'm glad guys like you saw that and took initiative. All right. So those people leave, right? They're being pressured out. They take the fucking, the old dusty trail. And now what happens?
So culture, right? Culture is everything. I've actually heard you talk about this. Everybody talks about this. The culture of an agency dictates everything. If you go to a place where it's all drama and gossip and lazy officers everywhere, no one wants to work there. Nobody wants to be on a losing team. Nobody wants to come to work and be unhappy every day. So you set the culture of your agency up that you're going to be proactive. And the main way you do that is you say, we have your back. When you go get in this pursuit, when you go get this use of force, as long as you don't lie, violate the law, or do something unethical, we're going to have your back. So go get at it. Go have fun. And that's how you start to change that culture. You support your guys and you provide a workplace that's fun to come to, that's happy and not negative all the time.
That's important, dude. I see that a lot in these agencies across the country that people are ecstatic. And, you know, as you're speaking, Craig Meyer, who's one of our instructors, he's a sergeant in Bryan, Texas. And, bro, the guy's never said a bad thing about his agency. He rants and raves about them. It seems like they are like one of the most well-respected, well-oiled machines in law enforcement. And everybody seems happy. Do I think they probably have one or two people that are miserable? Sure. I don't think anybody gets away with not having that. But especially in a profession where you just can't get rid of people, you know, fortunately enough for me in a private industry, I'm able to make decisions like that to not have to by law keep dead weight around who fucking burn through my money, because the money actually counts here. So compared to a taxpayer who unbeknownst, I always think about this, I'm like, man, imagine if taxpayers knew what they were getting for their taxes at some of these police agencies, these fucking bums who are running these places, these cops who do absolutely dick. These, and namely, like, just could you, they have no clue that their police department fucking sucks. And then I think the ones who know the police departments are great know it really well. Like, they're like, yeah, no, we have some of the best cops. Like, these guys are legit. And I think it really restores a lot of public faith when they see their cops going out and doing proactive work. I think township residents aren't scared that we have a crime problem. They're saying, if we do, we know our guys and girls are on it. Versus the other ones who just play the, well, if they don't see it, these politicians, if they don't see it, that means it's not here, right? Yeah, until it happens and nobody's prepared. And then what do you do? So, you know, it's interesting that you acknowledge that, how important it is to come to a place where you enjoy coming to.
The biggest agency in our state here, the one that pays the most, for our state, this is high. I know other places it's not, but they start year one for lateral officers, $80,000 a year, out of the gate year one. That's incredible for where I live. And they can't get anybody. They're 30 to 40% short right now, where we're fully staffed and we pay about $40,000 less a year than them. So the culture is everything. Money is not the most important factor.
And it's not even just you and I saying that. Like, there is like significant research done on this. Thousands of people are polled, like, you know, what would you rather have, a higher paying job or a boss that treats you better? It's simple, right? It's just simple. Why would you want to part with more money when you can just resolve your problems with better behavior and better leadership?
Yep. I think the problem with administration, and, you know, like you said, we're not calling out administration, but I kind of am, because I've been through some bad administrations, like I'm sure everyone has. I think the biggest problem they have is turning a blind eye to things. As administrators, if we know that we have a problem, we need to fix it instead of acting like it doesn't exist, because our bottom level guys know it exists, and they need to have confidence that you're going to fix it. And they need to have confidence that if they speak up about it, they're not going to get retaliated against, you know.
Over the weekend, not a former employee, but somebody who went on to greener pastures from here, which I'm super proud of, dude, by the way. Like, the handful of people that have left here to go, you know, engage in bigger opportunities. Like, this person left to go get double her salary. So I'm super thrilled, you know, and she was like, I don't know if I should go. I'm like, you have to go. You have to go, right? The opportunity's knocking. And over the weekend, we were talking to see, you know, how's your job? I'm still really close with all these people. She actually still works here part-time. I was actually trying to relieve her from that a little bit. I'm like, hey, you know, you don't have to do this work here. She's like, no, I don't want to leave. And I'm like, no, I understand. But like, you don't feel like you're obligated. Anything that you, so at her new job, I'm like, you know, how is it there? She's like, well, I know now why you get rid of these cancerous motherfuckers. And I'm like, why is that? She's like, because I'm working for somebody who everybody hates and nobody seems to want to address it. Even the people above her don't want to address it. And we don't know why they allow her to do it. So when I come in and I take action and I see behavior that's got to get addressed, I don't just wait around, let it manifest, not address, because people are scared of the confrontation. No different than breaking up with your fucking girlfriend who you can't stand, or boyfriend that you can't stand. They don't want to have that conversation. So I'm willing to have a conversation to try to resolve those issues. But you're right, man. I always thought to myself, how does a chief know that a guy's a sergeant or a lieutenant? He's a fucking nightmare. And they just let them do it. Like, what? And don't hang your hat on this thing of like, well, we've got to give some backing to our administration. Well, no. Backing is get this person correct. Hey, man, what the fuck are you doing out here, bro? Like, let's come in here. What is the, let's get you. You got to start fixing this. You can't, they hate you. They don't have to hate you. They hate you. You are the problem. You can get unhated. Let's start with what you're doing and why you're doing it. What are you insecure about? And I would probably say as their boss, look, I'm not going to demote you. You know, I can't do it without just cause or whatever it may be. But you got to start fixing yourself. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm telling you, I'll find you a spot in a closet somewhere. Like, this is serious shit, man. I want you to be a boss. I think you'll succeed. That's fine. But you got to start putting effort into it because I'm not going to tolerate it from this office. I promise you that.
I've asked a couple chiefs, and I ask our chief too, why do agencies allow turds to keep being turds? Why do agencies allow this? And he had a good answer, and I know what happens because there's no documentation. And like you just said, nobody wants the confrontation. Nobody wants to speak up. So I always like to look at things outside the box and do something different. You know, we're in 2023. Why are we still doing certain things in law enforcement the same way we were 50 years ago? And I hate that statement that all of us hate. This is the way things have always been. Why don't departments have a leadership policy? We have a promotion policy. Why don't we have a demotion policy? Hey, you suck at your job. Here's a measurable way to look at that. And you're a horrible leader. You're making this place terrible to work. So we're going to demote you because of that. Here's the policy. Obviously, you would bring them in and have a conversation with them first. But no, you don't have to keep somebody there. And you create a policy about that. Why aren't we doing that?
It's a tough topic to discuss because, certainly it's to my detriment for sure. But at the same time, people need to remember that I'm not doing this because I am just trying to grow a business and see how good I am at business. I'm essentially trying to fix this fucking mess that we're in. And you're going to have these hard conversations with people, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you're just going to have these hard conversations of like, it's a fucking mess. We got to fix this. And we got to start having these difficult conversations. The things that we're doing are not working. The leadership we have is not working. Here are the chief complaints. Let's start with those. Let's start fixing it. You know, for the first time ever, and I'm so proud of this guy. It's a guy here who kind of at his own discretion, without asking permission, essentially, basically changed the way that he was going to train recruits. And for the first time ever, I heard that these recruits were so thankful of their academy experience. I mean, dude, I went to 3 police academies. I was never thankful of my academy experience. I was thankful the fucking thing was over.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wasn't thankful of the things that I learned, but he had heard what I had to say. And dude, it just starts to happen that way. People hear it. They got the balls to do it. They do it, prove it. And all of a sudden it works. And we got a lot of work to do still, right? There's just no question about it. But moving on in our conversation, it is a time in history where agencies have to get better at one, attracting people, and two, retaining people. And we know for a fact that your sign-on bonuses, your moving bonuses, your transfer bonuses, your this, your that, your moving expenses, they're not going to work. Because guess what? Everybody's giving out 10 grand for you to come work for them. Your pay increases, well, they mean something. That's not the answer. People don't get that. You just can't throw money in a fire and think this is going to extinguish it. So what are some of the things that you guys have done to attract more people where you're fully staffed, continue to stay fully staffed, and continue to retain in an agency or in an area where people have unlimited options? I mean, you can go anywhere in the South, dude. Everybody's hiring. There is almost nowhere you can't go in the South outside of New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, because it's still kind of hard up here. And it's getting easier because of low enrollment. I mean, you can go anywhere, right? And get a job, essentially. So how do you guys stay a cut above the rest?
So I always ask this when I sit in on our interviews. Why us? Why did you choose us? I know the answer because I know what we've set up here. But I would say the reason we're succeeding with that is, again, because we back our people and we've created a culture I hate this word, but it's a family-oriented environment. But it's really what we are. We look out for our people. We allow them to be cops. We allow them to go chase criminals and put them in jail, and we back them up. And that's all they need. That's all people need in law enforcement to be happy. They have to know you're going to support them. They have to know they can come to work and do their job and be appreciative of that. They don't want to go sit somewhere in a parking lot for 12 hours. You're going to have some people that want to do that, but for the most part, you don't. And so when we get these certified guys from these bigger agencies, I always ask them, why us? And they say, man, word has gotten out. that you guys take care of your people. You can be happy when you work here, and you can be the police. And that's what I want. So I think that's where we're succeeding, man. We allow people to come to work, do their job. We back them up. And one thing I always tell our recruits too is from the time you go 10-8 until the time you go 10-7 here, do your thing. We're not going to micromanage you. We're not going to come check your GPS and see where you're at. We're not going to force you to do something that you don't want to do. Go do the job the way you want to do it and do it good. And they love it.
And you know, it even proves my theory. I've given this advice before this conversation to friends of mine that are chiefs that are looking for good people and trying to build a better culture. They're coming to you. Word has gotten out. And my friend's father-in-law, good friend of mine, he's a retired lieutenant out of White Plains, New York. First time I met him, we were having a discussion about, you know, essentially cops and what the problems were. And he said, you know, all these guys want to do is be the police. They just want to work. And I would tell this the upper command, just let them work. They just want to come in here and be cops. So let them come in here and be cops and go catch bad guys. When you guys start shutting down their ability to go catch bad guys, that's where we lose them. That's it. That's all these guys want to do. Everybody became cops to be the police. They didn't want to become cops to not be the police. So it's interesting that my theory of like once culture is established and word gets out, and they're seeing it, you guys doing joint operations with other organizations, your mutual aid calls, whatever it may be, they're seeing that you guys are happier, you're treated better, all this stuff, a magic fix. Could you imagine? The crazy thing is, I feel like I could yell this in a chief's face who's just the opposite, and they still won't listen because they just don't care. That's the magic ingredient, is actually giving a fuck. So you could sit down at your round table trying to figure out, how do we improve this? How do we improve that? Well, listen to what Landon is fucking telling you, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just interesting.
Yeah, you see all these posts and you hear people. So I'm in a leadership school right now for Arkansas, and it's interesting because these are all administrators and chiefs from agencies all over the state talking about their problems, talking about how to get better. Everybody talks about retention, but nobody wants to actually make it different. Because I'll bring up what we're doing, and they're like, no, we can't do that. Why? It's literally just do it. Just let your guys go work and then support them.
Isn't it crazy? If the world knew, right, especially the United States of America, knew that at least half the cops in this country are not allowed to go out and catch bad guys. Like, they're just put on a leash and told to answer your calls and don't make any rash decisions. It's wild that people knew what they were getting. And then the crazy thing is we blame our cops. We don't blame the politicians. We don't blame the administrators. We blame the men and women in the field who are out there doing the job, the first line supervisors. These are people who bear the burden and the weight of the poor decision-making at the way upper level. It's just wild. And I just don't know how these people, dude, it's interesting. And again, so you're like, oh, well, what's the theory on how to fix this? Unfortunately, it's a waiting game, right? Like, I mean, you know, you guys had to wait to get the other command out. You got a new command in. Things got better. All we can do is continue to try to influence the existing, whoever wants to listen, and the future. So when I see these young men and women who are coming forward and they were happy to meet the Street Cop staff and instructors, it brings me a great sense of relief knowing that as they continue to get promoted, chevrons, bars, eagles, flowers, all that shit, that they were raised in an appropriate environment of understanding what leadership is and what it should be. Not what can I do for myself? I don't give a fuck about anything else, whatever my paycheck looks like or my brand new fucking cruiser looks like. And you see it, dude, you're in the Facebook group. Everybody's got you go look on our Instagram page. People say, oh, you're anti-administration. I am not anti-administration. I am pro-administration. I have more friends that are chiefs. I have more administration friends than anybody you know, right? I mean, think about it. Thousands of agencies send people to training for this company every year. And a lot of times that comes from the top down because they found the value in this training. And they believe in what we believe in. The ones who don't support me, the ones who are being held accountable. The ones like you and I are talking about right now. The ones that are just being, and dude, they'll shut like a podcast like this off and don't want to hear it because the truth hurts. It's not that hard to care. But, you know, it takes effort to care.
So when I teach leadership classes, so exactly what you're saying, I always think it's interesting when you talk to other like-minded people and people that want to improve things, the mindsets are all the same and it's cool to hear other people say it, but they'll be the ones that turn this off. Those guys don't know anything. You know, what do they know? The people that feel guilty about something are the ones that need to hear it. I know. And man, if I could say to any chief like in the country, how important it is to let your guys work and why that's such a big deal to have that culture is because it's a circle. You have more use of forces. You have more lawsuits. You have more money in retention problems because you're not doing that. If you let the guys come to work and they become happier, you probably will have less use of force incidents, bad ones. Because use of force isn't bad, but bad ones. You'll probably have less lawsuits because your crime rate's going to go down because your guys are being proactive. They're going to see the citizens more. The citizens are going to be more supportive of them. If all your guys do is come to work and sit in a parking lot and do nothing, your crime rate's going to go through the roof, which in most cities it is right now. The people are not going to know your office. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
So Little Rock, our main capital city here, their agency's just not proactive right now. The crime rate's through the roof, and it's causing a horrible work environment. It's causing a bad thing over there, and I hate it because there's a lot of good officers over there. And if they would just make the hard change, face the reality, suck it up, and start making changes, I would be scared because they would start taking our people.
Dude, it's interesting that this solution's so simple, yet you can't figure out why these people... I mean, listen, I have a lot more theories about that, right? Like, there's probably a reason why this profession is so screwed up is because, unlike not corporate, but private industry, you're a landscaper, right? And landscaper A, landscaper B. Landscaper A is just the worst. You know, the guy don't get off the machine. They weed whack like shit. Your property looks like crap every single day. Landscaper B has the best team in the world, right? This guy gets it. He's got new machines. They weed whack the every time you come home. It's flawless. It's beautiful. Who do you think in private industry is going to grow their business? Landscaper A or Landscaper B?
B.
The problem is we have Landscaper A's in fake police world who are running organizations. They just don't care. They're lazy. They don't see things like we see them. And landscaper bees, we get fortunate that half of them are landscaper bees that are people who care. They care about the product they're putting out. They take pride in the work that they do. They understand how to grow an organization, where to allocate funds, what's important. It's wild, dude. It's a wild thing. And again, we're not saying you need to be the person who knows how to do every single thing, but you need to be the person that listens so we can have institutional change. That's the point. What else you got? Keep it going.
Man, so another big thing. So this is like a hot topic, and it goes back to something I've heard you talk about before, and kind of what you were talking about right then is landscaper A and landscaper B. As law enforcement officers, we can just come to work and do nothing and keep getting a check. There's nothing anybody can do about that. As long as we're not violating the law, you know, that whole situation, we're going to come keep getting a check. But you can impact that. One thing people always talk about is clicks, right? How do we fix clicks in law enforcement? You can't. You're not going to. Stop trying to use clicks. Clicks are a great thing. One thing I've always heard my career from people that are not SWAT or SRT, whatever you call it, is those are the only guys to get promoted. So when my new guys come in and I teach them from day one, why do you think that perception is? Is it because they have a patch that says SWAT so they immediately get promoted? No, it's because they hang out with other guys that are proactive, other guys that aren't constantly negative, other guys that have a positive mindset and are always looking to get better and grow. So go associate with that click. I don't want to get rid of clicks. I like them. I want my proactive guys working with other proactive guys. And my people that don't want to be proactive, great. Go hang out with those guys. You guys stay together and do your thing. You guys can take the non-serious calls and be tied up with calls all day and let my hardworking guys go do what they want to do. I don't want to force people that aren't proactive to go do that because you're just going to make them unhappy. And I don't necessarily think people that aren't proactive are bad officers. They just have a different work style. So let them flourish in what they want to do. Maybe they're your COP person. Maybe they want to read books to kids. Maybe they want to handle dog barking calls. Let them do that.
Yeah, because the proactive guys, the last thing that you want to do is read books to kids, barking calls, yes. Right? Like, absolutely. Just let's all submit to, like, hey, but we're both going to have to take a shit job sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be the guy who's going to respond to calls, then you're going to get a domestic, right? When I'm, but also don't forget, like, sometimes I'm going to get into a job on a traffic stop where I'm going to find a complete leaky bag of shit that turns into what? Right? FBI's getting involved. We have child services coming in. We have this. DA, I got to go out here for it. Like, same thing, right? My leaky bag of shit is just different than your leaky bag of shit. You guys call it a leaky bag of shit down there too?
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. You know, get a, like a job that's a leaky bag of shit.
Yeah.
Really? Never heard of that? It's so funny, dude.
No.
Like a leaky bag of shit in New Jersey. So we call, it's interesting. We don't call calls here calls. We call them jobs. So okay. In this state, yeah. So like if you're going to a hot call or like, you know, it's like, or you're, we don't call like running code, call like running hot to a job, right? Got a hot job coming in. Or like, even like you'll hear your dispatch, like, yeah, we got a hot one coming in. Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we call it a leaky bag of shit. It's one of those like domestics out the window with the TRO, the three kids. Now you find out it just never ends. It just keeps, as the more you layers you peel back, it gets worse and worse. You go to the house and you find the grandmother who is not being taken care of. Right. And then you find out that she committed a burglary or some shit like the grandpa.
Yeah.
Like it's just that leaky bag of shit. You thought it was going to be 45 minutes. It ends up being a fucking 3-day job. Here's a leaky bag of shit job. A bullshit domestic with like a 98 gun weapon seizure, right? Where you're sitting in fucking the room tagging guns for 3 days.
Yeah.
You caught a shoplifter. They hit 19 stores. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go in the back and like, you got to call 19 fucking stores. Do what? Listen, it's our job. But that's a leaky bag of shit. Yep.
Yep. I think it's just like the click thing, you know. I think it's just people have to look at things differently and stop making everything negative. Find a solution. Don't find problems, find solutions. I like clicks. I think we should keep them, and I think they're great.
You know, I think that human beings are naturally pessimistic, and for some odd reason, when they put a uniform on, they become 28 times more pessimistic. And I always try to tell guys, like, ignore these motherfuckers, right? Like, ignore these pessimistic. Christ, I mean, I get rid of him in my personal life. I know you got to go to work and you have no option, but man, just ignore them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't fuck with my friends from the past who are pessimistic. The glass is half empty. You know what I mean? I'm always trying to see the good in things. So, you know, cops are, and I don't think there's anything more frustrating for a proactive, happy cop than a negative, you know, lazy, do nothing cop. It really frustrates the guys and girls who came in this job to do a really good job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's worse when you have new guys that are ready to go and run a gun, but the senior guy on shift is the lazy one.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than them like taking a bright candle and just dimming it out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Taking a guy that comes in, could have been a phenomenal law enforcement officer, and they just rain on their fucking parade. They just turn down their brightness. It's the worst. I mean, it's like sad. It really is.
Yeah. That's something you see happen a lot too. That's just another thing that I think, like when our guys come in new, I tell them that, hey, this guy's going to try to influence you in this way, and don't do it. Like, don't do it. You don't have to listen to him. Call me if you get issues. Go out there and burn it down. I will support you.
Yeah, it's good. And your chief's got their back too, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's funny because sometimes we all keep our radios on in here, and when we hear something going on, we all jump and take off and go help them. And that's the coolest thing to them, to see us out there in the middle of all of it.
I love it, dude. That's really good. You know, and I often can tell a lot about administrators when I see. And I hate to sound like a fucking asshole because it's probably coming off as an asshole, but let me say this. I'm not gonna say anything bad about the latter, but it actually paints a real clear picture of me when I see administrators wearing full duty rigs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Versus like a Glock 27 with 7 rounds on it and they haven't seen their radio in fucking 10 years. You guys are ready to go out and respond to calls. I get it. Like I get there's different roles, but I'm just saying, I get it. You can't sit in the chair with the duty rig, but at least have that vest nearby. You know what I mean? To throw that vest on real quick and get out there and get with it. So I got to tell you, I mean, I've seen administrators that I've worked for who walk around as captains wearing duty rigs and other ones who don't. They walk in with their fucking pistol on and not another thing on their belt, you know?
And they're never out there. So one of the big things I remember always too was those are the guys making policies, right? And all, you always say this and you always hear this. Why is that guy making policies when he's out of touch? He has no idea what we're doing out here, or it doesn't apply to them. But if they see you're out there doing it and you're doing the same thing you're asking them to do, it's great.
The bigger picture thing here is your reputation is everything. And when people, it's no secret when your place is a piece of shit that everybody else is going to know about it. Yeah, it's just the truth, man. And, you know, I don't think anybody deserves to work at a piece of shit place and be miserable because that's the job they have. And I will constantly advocate for men and women to be treated fairly in the workplace and with respect at a very minimum, given these police officers, for the love of God, the respect they deserve, you know?
Man, I think, you know, one of the things that we do too that I think's made us really successful that I like a lot is we came out with, and I actually hate participation awards. I can't stand them. But we came out with a reward system. We do a shift bid situation every 6 months where they get to pick their shift and all that. What we've started doing is on that shift bid, we have different rewards that we give out for like the most proactive officer. And there's several different awards, but we don't just give out awards just to give them out. You actually have to earn it. And it's been pretty cool. And the guys actually want those. So I think a lot of places I look at, they give out these, you know, BS awards for nonsense that everybody knows they shouldn't have got. But we're doing it based on, you know, what they're actually doing, what they're actually working on and producing.
So earning these awards is interesting because what I have seen is in my career, people start this awards thing with the right intention, but then they allow nepotism to get involved. And once you've rewarded somebody or awarded somebody who didn't deserve it, you have now lost the value of that award. Where I'm literally like, I never forget telling a guy I ran into, I was working off duty, he's a supervisor. And I said, bro, at this point now, what they've done with these fucking awards, I just want to throw all mine in the garbage. They mean nothing anymore because they hold no value. Because they're just, now they're giving them to their friends, their family, they're hooking their boys up. Like now it don't mean shit. It was like, we had a guy, God rest his soul. He was on, I don't want to say the organization because I don't want to dilute their, because a lot of good things on the organization as well, but he was trying to pad his votes at that organization. So he was getting people into this organization on bullshit, right? So they stood for this. And essentially, let me try to make this as vague as possible with trying to give you an example of what it was. Like recognition for a job well done, okay? So let's leave it at that, right? So a real, this place, this organization hangs their head on people who are very heroic. And these incidences that occurred, they get submitted and they get entrance into this organization where there was something to say when you were a member of that organization that we know you did something good. But, and these guys accepted it. Like one dude got in for like giving CPR to an 87-year-old man and the guy died like 3 days later, right? Like, dude, like I thought you had to like jump into a lake and like rescue kids from a sinking bus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not give a guy CPR on a fucking basic call that didn't even work. Let's fucking face facts. CPR never works. It's rare that it does. People don't realize that. It's like 99% chance it's not going to do anything. You know, and then he came to me and he's like, hey, I want you to try to join this organization. I said, for what? I don't fucking do anything. I descend into a cliff with a, you know, with a hanger to like rescue a puppy. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you had a gun job two nights ago, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, it's good. It's a good thing. I'm like, I got a gun job. It's a gun job. We had a search of a car. We found a gun. He's like, yeah, I'll put you in for it. I'll get you right in. I'm on the board there. And I said, now I don't want to be part of your shit ever. Because now you've actually taken what I actually thought was like, oh, these guys got in because of these reasons. You know, you run into a house fire. You run into this. And it's bullshit. And those guys, it's crazy. Those guys that got in on that bullshit are like there all the time. They're like legit straight up members or involved, right? You could be involved, but you didn't qualify, you know, if that's not what it was meant to do. So when you start saying, hey, here's the most proactive guy award, and you're going to give it to the dude who writes the most tickets, and everybody else had like, you know, because statistically their numbers might say they had 19 arrests, but the guy wrote the most tickets. You know, of those 19 arrests, four of them were profound, right? We found a murderer who was on the run living in fucking your county. And that's the recognition we've got to give. Like, hey, man, great. Yeah. The fucking ticket writing awards for you. Don't crisscross the most proactive guy with the guy who writes the most tickets. Cause then you're going to start having a competition for what? Writing tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have a ticket writing competition. You know, so it's not what it is. Well, I want that award. So what I'll do, I'll forego the rest of the fucking good police work to go out and throw rear antenna radar on and pound out as many tickets per hour as I possibly can, which in turn makes the world hate us. We're not in a position anymore to get the world to hate us more. We really want to gain the hearts and souls of the United States American citizen and those who come to this country from countries where police are inherently crooked and know that we get respect here as law enforcement officers. Like, let's show them why. Let's show them that we have compassion and Tickets is not a top priority. We're not the fucking country's ATM machines. Hey guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well. Anyway,
one of our other ones is most influential, and it's literally like you have to do something pretty incredible to get that one. And they're all merit based. So they're not
Yeah.
But what's funny is and I wanted to actually avoid what you were just talking about. I'm not going to name the agency or anything like that just because I'm not going to do that. But they gave out some awards like this before, and we all came to the ceremony. And the award was literally for showing up to work for 2 weeks in a row.
And my God.
Yeah. And we were like, wow, this is just immediately lost all cool points that it had. No one wants this anymore. Now it's a joke to get this award.
It's wild, dude. Like, you know, there, I guess at some point, all of us will have to put our collective heads together and continue to come up with guides on how to behave. In law enforcement, how to run an organization. You look at my Instagram page, dude, all we do is slide decks. I'm like, here's how to make things better. Here's how to keep people. Here's how to recruit people. Here's how to keep good people happy. Here's how to keep bad people happy. Here's how to avoid lawsuits. So we do these slide decks to try to give guidance because it feels like people are just like, what do we do next? Oh, no. I'm like, how do you not know how to do anything? You know what I mean? And then maybe some of that's like asking your people, right? Stop saying you need to be the person that makes all decisions. Let the rank and file decide. One of the first agencies in New Jersey that supported my training that no longer supports it, and that's a whole nother funny story, but their chief at the time was great, and he had a phenomenal reputation. Dude, this guy had a reputation like you heard about it from everybody, how good he was. They were hosting my training. Dude, that's back when I was in like 11-person classes. You know what I mean? Like I was a nobody. I just had this message I wanted to deliver. People really enjoyed it, but dude, just a whole different time. It's like, 9-10 years ago. And I'll never forget like him being in the hallway with me there. We're chopping it up a little bit. 30, 35 man agency, right? Nothing huge. I think one of his command staff was like, hey, which style of what you want to do for these construction jobs in the summer? We're looking at shorts. And he's like, well, I don't know. Hold on. So like three guys walking by. He's like, yo, he's like, you guys want shorts for the summer? Because they're like, what? Like, what do you mean? He's like, you guys like want to wear shorts in construction? Like, we'd love to wear shorts. Like, all right, put a policy out. We can have shorts now for construction. And it's wild to me that agencies don't have shorts for construction. Like, why can't your cops wear shorts on construction jobs? Like, tell me what the fucking problem is with that. You'd rather just have them dying out in the middle of the street than actually being to wear shorts for construction jobs? It's just like, could you imagine what it's like to get the blessing to know that you're not going to have to fucking die on a construction zone anymore in the heat by literally saying, hey, you guys, how many agencies, Landon, that have no, like, they can't wear caps, like regular, like skull caps on patrol?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a huge thing. So, man, it's such a morale booster, too, over something so stupid and simple.
I know. We don't like the way it looks. You're a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Right?
Same You're with just so weird.
Yeah. Remember, we just had a viral video go. We had Carmine Marcino, who's the Lee County Sheriff in Florida. I don't know if you saw it. He talked about how he loves tattoos and he thinks he gives you street cred and get respect from them. And dude, it flew. I mean, it crushed on TikTok. It crushed on Instagram. And, you know, that's why that guy he's one of the very few agencies in Florida that doesn't need anybody right now. They're just backed up. They have hundreds of pending applicants. Can't keep people according to him and some of the people I've talked to in his agency. He's not fibbing. That's the truth. And Carmine, for those people who think I'm at the administration, asked if he can continue to do things with us as an organization. So for those who think I'm anti-administration, I'm not. Here's your new guy, 43 years old, right? Gen Xer / millennial who gets it, bro. He's not like stuck in this old school thing of like, we're going to wear class A's. Dude, let's get fucking shorts, right? Lee County, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're killing it, yeah.
Dude, like get shorts, right? Like how stupid is that? Like let your people wear shorts. I remember when we got like after forever, they let us like get traffic vests, like the yellow traffic, like not vests, I'm sorry, the yellow traffic shirts. Like, bro, we was like, we couldn't buy enough of them. Like, we can wear these now. Like, yeah. I'm like, no fucking way. Right. We had to wear ties. They got rid of the ties. Oh my God. Like, it was like, it was just so crazy. Why they wanted us in these ties that were a nightmare. The nightmare.
One of my first write-ups at my original agency, I had a lieutenant pull up on my call. I'm searching somebody. In the middle of searching somebody, I had gloves on and a short sleeve uniform, which was apparently against policy. And I got verbal counseling for that. You could not wear gloves and short sleeve uniform. It doesn't even make sense. Come on. No, dead serious. Like it, and that's one of, it's the same thing you're talking about. It makes no sense.
I had a friend of mine who, when he was new, he's a sergeant now where he's at, probably going on to lieutenant. His lieutenant brought him in after watching one of his traffic stops. And this is when, like, we were transitioning out of the big giant mag lights and everybody had like these, you know, your pocket flashlight has like 85,000 lumens. You could fucking land F-16s on a fucking flight deck. And he got brought into the sergeant's office or whatever it was, lieutenant's office or captain's office, and was told, like, don't be making traffic stop that little flashlight. You need the big one in your hand. And he's like, but the big one's not as powerful and I don't want to carry that. It's like a burden. And they're like, yeah, but you got to have the big one in your hand. That's how we do it here. Like, you got to have the big. Could you imagine? That's the conversation. Imagine walking into like, this can't be my fucking life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I got to listen to this fucking moron who knows nothing about police work. Tell me that I need to hold a flashlight. It's insane.
Yep. And but that stuff's still happening today. And that's why they're losing. That's why these agencies.
Bro, how about this? Like
garbage.
You go to New York City. They got to wear the hats. Right. You got to wear a 5-point milkman hat on the street. Like that alone right there. I'm not kidding you, dude. I don't like to wear hats. You'll probably almost never catch me in a hat. I mean, I wear them sometimes, very rare. I'm telling you, I would not work at an agency that made me wear a hat all the time. I'm telling you that right now. I'll go anywhere else. I just ain't doing it. I'm not wearing a fucking hat like that. I'm not doing it. I don't care what you think it looks like. Oh, has psychological effects. Not for me, right? That's why, like, I never even considered the state police because I was like, yeah, I'm not wearing a fucking hat. Like, I'm just not wearing a fucking hat, dude. In the fucking heat in the summer, I'm not doing it. I'm not just... This job's difficult enough. Just these little things we can do. And bro, like, man, I'm so happy that you guys are implementing this stuff because then it gets out. Like, bro, you put fucking 15 cops out there and now you guys are wearing shorts and traffic jobs. Go tell your chief that. You guys have shorts?
No, we don't. We don't really need, I mean, the weather's not that bad here. Maybe a few days in the summer.
You guys work like construction jobs and like cutting holes in the street. You guys work out there and stuff like that?
Like traffic.
Yeah,
stuff like that, off duty. Yeah, we do, but it's not like that. Not like what you're talking about.
Okay, so that's all it is here, right? Everybody is working that shit nonstop all the time. You always got to have a cop with you. It's New Jersey law. Bro, put fucking 15 guys out there in an area where you don't see people in shorts, wearing shorts. And then your friend's going to say to the other guy at the next conference, like next week's the PBA mini convention. They're going to go, hey, I saw you guys wearing shorts. They're like, yeah, Chief gave us shorts. Dude, we get to wear them on. Dude, just that alone, people are like, yo, I don't know. Maybe I'll go over there. Like, just that's how simple it is. Like, what else you guys got? Hey, we're good. Dude, we got a nice policy on this. You know, every hour we get a fucking relief card that comes out. We get to take a lunch break. Like, you know, contracts, what they're good. Like, dude, I'm telling you that signal of wearing, this should be like a LinkedIn article, wearing shorts for law enforcement. What does it tell others? You know, how often do you see a cop in shorts? Seriously.
Yeah. And it's just the openness. I mean, that'd be a great article because we've done the same things along the same mindset. We've changed our patrol schedules around what's to make it better for our people. There's no reason as an agency to have a set patrol schedule because it's the way we've always done it. Instead of going to your people and saying, what works best for you guys and how can we make that happen? And that's what we did. And then it's not shorts, but we were one of the first agencies around here to go to outer vest and like 5'11" working top uniform, which everyone loved.
It's crazy. You give guys the right gear and you might, this is just a hypothetical situation. You could say, look, we don't have the money to afford these brand new cars. You know, our shit's a little bit older, but like we got some money for fucking outer vest carriers and shit like that. If people just know that you're always thinking about them when making decisions, forget it, dude. Right. Yep. They'll accept the other shit. Like, hey, do you guys have our ARs? Nah, they can't afford them yet, but these motherfuckers are trying. We know they're in there trying to get us some shit. Right. They're working on it. You know, we know they're coming. So
it was the craziest thing to me to use that as like a recruiting thing. People would come to us and interview. And this is years ago. And they would say, aren't you guys wearing outer carriers? Yeah. Awesome. I can't wait to work there for something so stupid. So simple.
I know. Bro, I got a friend. I got somebody close to me and I was trying to encourage that person to go elsewhere. And they're like, nah, that ain't. I'm like, that agency looks like they're great. They're like, they don't wear outer vests. They won't go to make more money to work at a better agency because they like the way their uniform looks and like the outer vest carriers more where they're at. I'm not kidding you, dude. I can't make that up. And you got these chiefs like, we don't like the way they look. They're military-ish. Like, bro, shut the fuck up already. and get these motherfuckers what they deserve and what they need. You know, man, they look, I honestly think they look great, the outer vest carrier. I think they look real professional. They look real sharp. And I think there's a psychological deterrent to those things, you know? And I think people are really comfortable with cops now wearing those things and feeling a lot more confidence. I don't think they look more fucking militaristic. I actually think they look more like they restore confidence in people. And these cops are like, no joke, right?
Yeah. 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 No, I think the base like mindset of it, like the subconscious mindset of it is mostly that just the agency is going to support you. We're not a closed off 1930s agency that's not going to evolve or change. We're here to progress. And they see that, I think, subconsciously.
Dude, there's just, like, people don't realize it's these little things that matter the most, right? You don't have to fucking buy pizza for the squad every third week in December, right? Like, that's not what's going to, it's just, dude, you got to look beyond police work to see what's actually working. And there are some of the best leaders of organizations in the world that are not cops, but the principles are the same. How'd you guys get so good at learning your craft? I'm like, we didn't look at the fucking police world to think, how are we going to design our training programs? We went to the real world where people get paid $100,000 an hour to talk, and we watch what they do and what their programs look like. So when people come in, they're like, oh my God, this is so amazing. I'm like, yeah, we almost plagiarized or at least employed the style of the men and women in the private industry who get paid, no bullshit, $100,000 to $200,000 an hour to give keynote seminars and sessions. When you look at what they're doing versus what we're doing, it's clear. And she said, well, do you guys have a lot of competition? We don't. They think that I'm their competition. I don't think I have any competition. I have friendships. I'm always trying to bring others up with me, right? Like the people that I know that are doing this for the right reasons and they're good dudes behind these organizations. The bar is set so low, I feel like there's not even any competition. And everybody knows that. It's not some cocky. Tell me about 95% of the classes you've been to. They're fucking terrible, dude.
Yeah. Boring. People can't wait to leave.
Oh, dude, to sit down in the slide one. If it starts with like who they are, their name, their rank, and what class you're at, and then you go into like five objectives of what the class is going to be, I'm like, man, if I ever thought about taking my life, today might be the day. And then like, it's just bullet point. And they leave that one thought on the fucking thing for what, 13 minutes while they talk. Come on, man. Where's your videos? You got to start putting more thought into this shit. You're trying to engage these people. I'm not saying we're the best, but like, we're certainly trying to be, that's for sure. And I got to tell you, there's other organizations doing a nice job. I'm not saying there aren't, but there's a lot of them that stink on ice.
Yeah.
And even some of these bigger names, I just asked one of our instructors today, cause he's going to some event, 3-day conference. And I said, is that by the same guys from last year? He goes, no. And this is a big brand, right? And I go, how was that? He goes, it was a fucking waste of time. 5 days. Really well-known brand in this industry. He's like, dude, it's a complete waste of time. It was absolute bullshit. They didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. And it was all like the presentation was dog shit. So, you know, I'm not saying that because like, I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that. Like, we know where they're at. I don't even think about them. And those guys are like, they're our competition. Motherfucker, you're not my competition. I might be, you might in your mind. Like, I'm not even thinking about you. People are like, oh, you know, this guy, he doesn't like you. I'm like, who? Like, oh, he's well-known in Louisiana. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Right? Like some guy who has 112 people in Louisiana that, and I'm just making up Louisiana. There's nobody even thinking like 112 people in Louisiana who think he's cool. Like, you think I give a fuck about whoever this guy is that you said? Well, he says he knows who you are. I'm sure he does. Right? But I don't give a fuck. Only one thing I'm worried about here, making this thing better, and the men and women in this profession who, and our team's always available. We always have more seats on our team, right? Like even if you're a disbeliever now, you're a believer. There's always room on our bus. Like, come on, right? You're welcome here. I don't care if you said shit about me 20 years ago. I don't give a fuck. Like, you're a cop. We have plenty of rooms on our, plenty of room on our team for you. We want to help you get better. That's what I'm concerned about. How do we make all this better? How to make better training products? How do we innovate? How do we improve? How do we have all this great development at this company? I'm not worried about like what fucking John's canine training is doing in fucking, you know, Manassas, Virginia. I don't fucking care that John helps three towns select Belgian Malinois and he's the best and he doesn't like what we say about, I don't give a fuck, dude. It does, you know, anyway, so.
You guys are definitely on the right track. It's probably plagiarism or illegal or something, but I send some of y'all's content out quite a bit.
Oh, no, dude, you know how I feel about that? Like, please. Right. You know what I mean? Like, do so. Right. You know how the fuck I am, dude. You know, we've met, we've spent a little time together. give me a ride in his fucking Jeep from the airport to my hotel. And dude, listen, I implore everybody to take whatever resources that we have and give them out if they're going to help. Like, we're not sitting here like trying to hold this shit hostage. Here, have it. We made it for you. Here's a piece of art. Well, what do you want for it? Nothing. Just don't forget about us, right? And like, you know, when the time comes, like, we have to procure revenue to continue to grow. But man, these guys are great. Bro, I've talked to these motherfuckers who call me from these other organizations. I'm an open book. Hey, man, looks like Street Cops really blowing up quite a bit. Like, everybody knows who you guys are. Like, what do you, I run a training company. I'm like, yeah, no, I've heard. I heard you got a little thing going on. Yeah, yeah. What do you think I should grow my, stuff? And like, how do I get better? I'm like, you give it all away. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, give all your information away and build trust and show that like, you're not in it for the like we show that we're not in it for these, for the wrong reasons. And they're like, they can't believe it. I'm like, they're like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like, that's cool. We'll enjoy teaching 83 people a year and we'll teach 30,000. Right. And then next year we'll teach 50,000 and then the following year we'll teach 100,000. And eventually I think at some point I would be audacious to say this, but I do believe this. I bet you that Street Cop ends up teaching a majority of the United States every year in law enforcement. I just have a funny feeling that's where it's going. Will there be pushback? Is it going to take a long time? Yeah, it's not going to be next year or the year after, but we'll see. We'll see where we're at in 7 to 10 years, what it looks like, the shit that we've got going on and cooking up in this fucking office here, the technologies we're looking at, what we're signing on to, the stuff we're going to take over. I'm telling you, right? Because the men and women in the field appreciate it, dude. Just like you said, you guys are on the right track. Appreciate the work that we're doing. We know what it means to have good training. We fucking know that. Right.
The other thing you have on your side is the mid-level guys right now that will be administrators in 5 to 7 years are your supporters, are the guys that are listening to the stuff you guys are doing and they're implementing it. So they're going to be supporters of you when they're in the, you know, top level roles. And I think agencies should sit their new supervisors down and go, hey, here's all the Street Cop podcasts. Watch them all and learn.
Yeah, I mean, dude, when did you get exposed to us? Like, how long that was? I came there, 5 years ago?
Yeah. And it was, so I think the way I happened upon you guys, it was one of our deputies at Pulaski County. He just came to me one day and I was in training and he was like, hey, man, check these guys out. They're doing good things. You should watch some of their videos. And it was pretty quick, the couple of videos I watched. And I was like, man, they're onto something. What I like about you guys are no bullshit. There's no beating around the bush. It just is what it is. And that's the most important thing anybody can have. So I started watching what you guys were doing and I was like, man, I got to get these guys here because we need this here. And then it's just been great moving forward from then.
Yeah. I appreciate it, dude. I know that you've been an adamant supporter of our training and everybody who supports us and pushes the agenda. Like, I appreciate it. I'm not here to fucking try to convince the ones that are unconvincible. I don't spend any time with that stuff. So it means a lot, dude. I'm glad that you reached out to me. And, you know, people listening to this podcast, Landon reached out and was like, hey, man, I want to tell you about some of the things we're doing. I'm like, you know what, dude? It sounds like it'd be good for a podcast episode where we could deliver value to everybody else who has to try to figure out or a task with the duties of we need to recruit. We need to retain. Listen to what this man's telling you. It's actually working where they are now. What else you got? We'll do a couple things.
Man, to the most important thing I think I can say is anybody watching this video that's fighting retention and they just want a simple, how do I fix it? Watch this video, watch all the other videos and put it into motion. It's not complicated. Stop having the mindset that you can't change or this is the way we've always done it and just do it. Just take the actions. Just listen to your people. Go talk to your guys. Find out what they need, what they want and make it happen. And mostly just they got to let their guys come to work and work. That's the biggest thing. I think too many people are hard to convince when they shouldn't be. If you got a retention problem right now, anywhere in America, go find out what your guys want and just let them do it. I mean, obviously as long as it's not illegal or immoral or something, but nobody's asking for that. They just want to be cops.
Dude, I often fantasize with the idea of this would never happen, but like running an agency just to show everybody what it would look like when I took it over 3 months. Right. And let's say I didn't even have a reputation of, could you imagine being a police officer and like, hey, Benino's actually gonna be our chief, right? And you're all Street Cop fans. You're like, no fucking way. Like, right. We're getting everything. Like, yeah, you are. Right. But like, we're going to get things that are smart. We're going to see what we need the most. I know for a fact that canines, well, on one side of it, people think they create lawsuits. If somebody gets bit, blah, 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 blah. Actually, they do just the opposite. So knowing that, because I'm a big thinker, the first thing I'm doing is saying, what does our canine program look like? I can find funding for it. We'll get creative with it. Who has interest in a dog? Let's pick the right person. Hey, do you know, I get this one now when people were hiring. Hey, my cousin Jeannie, she's looking for a job. She was good. She worked at Colgate for quite a few years. She's awesome. Everybody likes her. And I'm like, what the fuck you call me for, dude? Like, that's not how we do things here. So I would tell you the first thing I'm going to do is say, let's look at who the most qualified is, who people want. You know, what does our command staff look like? No nepotism. Let's just pick people who are qualified. Let's start showing people that you actually get things here for the right reasons and not for who you know. People don't realize that shit, oh, we have retention problems. Your shit's a wreck and you're the cause of it. You're allowing it to happen, bro. I always say, like, when your chief says you don't like that, he doesn't like street cop training, I already know who your chief is, right? Promoting his fucking friends, taking care of his boys, his own family members. Got, you know, everybody's driving jalopies. He's got the commuter car, but he's got the badass brand new fucking Tahoe Chase rated, right? Immaculate. You got guys, cars can't even answer calls because they're falling apart. This guy's he's got the best police packages, right? I just know who the fuck he is, right? It's just one big selfish fucking bullshit show. And these motherfuckers hate hearing it. They hate hearing it because nobody will say it to their face. Hey, you're fucking full of shit, dude, right? You're full of shit. That's not what a chief meant. Like, that's not what those chevrons or those bars or any of that. That's not what it's meant to do. It's a whole different theory on what it means to be a police supervisor. And I would actually give credit to Landon that I think he's exhibiting exactly what that means. So he didn't have to come do this fucking podcast. He didn't give fuck up enough to open his mouth, raise his hand and say something. But stop being afraid to fucking be heard and seen. Just let it be, man. Like, let these people know, you know, and just know who you're talking to and know, is it that dangerous to say something? Maybe you're better off somewhere else. You went to how many different agencies in your career in 13 years?
Yeah, three. Yep.
Yeah. I talked to somebody yesterday and this person said, oh, you know, where I work, it's very toxic. I said, how long have you been on the job? They go, 3 years. Works in, again, in a state where you can go anywhere, right? I mean, they're just dying for you. If you're a mouth breather, they'll give you a gun and a badge.
Yep.
So I said, do you think you're going to stay there? No. I don't think I'm going to stay here. I go, well, it's 3 years now, right? How much longer are you going to take before you're going to start looking around? And the person's like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I want to, where I want to go yet. I just don't want to just jump. I go, you're not even looking where to fucking land. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just can't. Like, there's nobody coming to pick you, right? Oh, yeah, we want you. Come over here. No. Go out. I went to three police academies, right? I remember my third academy, like, why am I here? Now I know why I was there. To fucking tell people 20 years later, hey, I went to three academies. I'm not just saying it. I lived it. I didn't have to go to three academies. I went for a reason. And I want to encourage people to do the same, man. Like, go find an agency like this. What agency do you work for now?
It's Faulkner County Sheriff's Office.
Oh, I got a funny feeling you'll get some applications coming over the fucking internet now. How do they apply to get a job there in Arkansas?
If you go to Faulkner County Sheriff's Office website, there's an apply button there. Hey, come on. We had no openings, but we'll have some at some point, you know, maybe.
Isn't that crazy, dude, in a time where recruitment is the biggest issue in the world? I think I just saw something on New Orleans again. They're going to overthrow the mayor they're looking at now, right? They're going to get rid of her.
Yeah, it would never work down there. And that's it's again one of those reputation things.
Sure, dude. Sure. So I have never in the past 5 years heard one good thing about the NYPD from an NYPD guy. All I get is messages from Philly PD guys. Where do I go? How do I get out? MPD, you know, Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C. L.A. Like, these guys are like, we're Chicago. This place is terrible. I'm fucking leaving. Like, I would love for it to be, nah, dude, we're good. It's like, we got a lot of opportunity here. No, they're just, dude, this place is bad. I tell everybody to stay away. That's not good for your agency, right? Yeah, that's not a good recruiting tool.
Yep. And people know about it. Like, all the officers around here, we have three agencies within 20 miles that pay $40,000 more a year than us. And they're all massively short. So the word of mouth gets around.
And you guys aren't even the highest paid, right?
No, we're not. We're decently paid, but we're not the highest paid, not by any means.
Isn't that interesting? Throwing money at the problem. Like, the people in Minneapolis, Minnesota are now paying. Did you see that? There was something we shared. It was, I think it was Portland or Seattle, where they're just like, no, I think it's Portland, Oregon. They're like, the cops don't do anything around here. And the reporter's like, because there are none. Like, you voted these fucks in. And I'm like, we wish these cops were more proactive. Oh, now. Right. So be careful what you wish for. Be careful about keeping your mouth shut. So when you see shit like this beginning to happen, oh, boys and girls, you better open your mouths, because I'm going to tell you, bro, I got to tell you, I'm glad that I don't own a business in Portland or in New York City. Dude, you got big box retailers just leaving Manhattan. They can't handle. Dude, now they're hiring canine teams, private canine teams to come in and guard the front doors. But where were you when the police were getting fucking just, you know, where are you're supporting these politicians? That's what you get. Now you can't be in New York. Now, all these people in New York, what happens? Property values. Where do they go up? Florida through the roof. Look at the fucking Florida through the roof, dude. You got places like Alabama going through the roof. Properties exploding. Times are changing. And New York's going down. All these liberal LA's go. All these prices are going down because people are leaving. They're sick of it. They're sick of this bullshit.
You know, that's a great example, too. Why does everybody want to live in Florida?
Ron DeSantis.
Probably because of Ron DeSantis. All day, Ron. Why is he successful?
Just to prove to you how powerful the American citizens' support is of law enforcement, people are moving to a state. There's, I think it's like 1,300 to 1,500 people per day are permanently moving to Florida. Per day, dude. Right? Because their governor shows adamant support for law enforcement. Just like when you guys show that you have support for your people, they come to you and they're flocking to those states, man. They're not, nobody's moving, racing to come to Jersey. Trust me, right? Everybody here is talking about how to get out of here as fast as possible. And these guys here are like, we're doing such a good job. Really? Or are you?
It all comes down to fear, I think. It's all fear. The agencies and the states that are fearful of legal repercussions are the ones doing the worst because they're playing it too safe.
Right? When's enough enough? How much are you going to take on the fucking face? Yep. How much are you going to let these people pound you around before you stand up and fucking run? And they did it here. And I got to give credit where credit's due. The chiefs and the prosecutors here stood up to the people down here in our state capitol because they took away the pursuit policy. And brother, once these car theft crews knew that we couldn't pursue anymore, it got nuts here. Like, I'm telling you, like, hundreds of cars a day being stolen. They were like, they believe there's like 250 different crews out just pillaging the state. Then they started breaking into people's houses. They knew they couldn't be chased. So they were just getting bold and brazen. And they finally went down and said, you got to change it. And that's it. It was the breaking point for this. That's what they had to do. They got on a phone call with these guys. You know, my friends are the chiefs, and they're like, you're reversing that. We need pursuits back. And they did. They restored pursuits. You got to stop appeasing this stupid little small percentage of people because you're worried about their votes. You know, come on, man. Let's fucking show some fucking brass tacks here. Let's get it going anyway. Hey, listen, dude, it was good seeing you. Thanks for coming on and doing this. And I think it gave a lot of insight for people to understand what's got to happen. And, you know, again, it's that no bullshit explanation. We just do. Oh, here's a way to retain people. Let them know you do more woke training. That'll get your people. That's soon as you keep pumping woke training out on DMS, and then they'll tell their friends so they make sure that they don't come to your fucking agency. You just don't fucking get it. You know what I mean? Like, just keep pumping. Do I think people, cops, need to be trained on compassion and understanding and perspective and no judgment? Yes. You are doing it wrong. You are fucking doing it the wrong way, and nobody wants to do it. I agree. There has to be some sensitivity implemented in everybody's life, right? Because it's not, you know, we really have to try to see the perspective of those people, but stop it, man. Even some of my friends who are like, the people who the woke people are trying to protect are like, yo, it's ridiculous, bro. Like, I'm just a fucking gay dude, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know people that have transitioned are like, bro, I'm just like trying to be a fucking regular person, right? You know what I mean? Like, they just they're making people hate us more. Yep. Like, we're just regular people. This is who I am. This is how I identify. I'm like, bro, I respect you 1,000%, or toots or woman. I don't know, whatever. Like, I respect you 1,000%, but you're right. Then they're even getting frustrated with it. Like, this is enough. Like, they're jamming this shit down their throats. We don't want to be the hated people. We're trying to get them just to understand a little bit, but they're killing us.
Yep.
They don't realize these fuckers, they don't realize what they're doing to all these people. You know, they're making the situation worse. Don't got to be this way. Little training on it, little sensitivity. Let's move on with life. Fucking day.
Yep. That's the main thing. Stop being scared. Let your officers work, and all your problems, most of your problems, are going to work themselves out.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, dude. Every time I get in a conversation with somebody like this, who's the naysayer or speaks on the ladder, I always have a nice answer for them. Not a smart ass answer, just a solution. And they're just like, yeah, but, you know, easier said than done. Like, yeah, dude,
no.
Just keep being a spineless little fucking jellyfish. Keep folding like a cheap chair. And we will find ourselves here again in the same situation every day, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years from now, because nobody wants to fucking stand up and say, there's problems. We got to fix them. This is how you do it. You can't have any more of this shit going on. I don't want to do that, bro.
I like your idea earlier. I think, you know, LAPD or one of these huge agencies should just hire Dennis Bianio as the chief, give it a year, and then just prove that it works.
Bro, I'm the governor of California. I'm deploying like $2 billion into police resources. And I'm just going to like shut my phone off and just train these dudes, get them ready and let them go out. And following the Constitution with the highest regard of training and teach them compassion and decency. And you watch how the crime rate drops 1,000%. And I got to tell you, you know, the most happy people are the ones who live in like the Watts projects in fucking Compton, or I could be misquoting it, who were like, yo, we can actually walk to school now. Yo, I have half my friends weren't murdered this year, right? It's not a cultural thing. These people don't want to live in an environment where they have to worry about getting murdered every day of their life. I can't imagine what it's like. And keep electing these fucks. Yeah, keep electing these fucks in LA and all these fucking morons. And you'll keep having that. I don't know why you people are okay with your fucking families getting killed. Because if I was you, I'd be fucking furious. And I'd be unelecting these motherfuckers and throwing them out to the... They keep promising you shit. Really? Has things changed? Use your fucking brains. We're here to help you. Work with us and we can fucking fix shit anyway. Then people are like, yo, you should be the president. I'm like, yeah, I don't want that. Like, I just curse too much at this point now, right? Maybe for New World Order, if there's a fucking nuke dropped at some point, maybe I'll be the next president. I got some ideas.
Yeah, people always ask me why I don't run for sheriff somewhere or something. I'm not the guy for that.
Yeah. Got some things in the closet there. It happens, right? Yeah,
I'm not good on TV and publicity stuff. That's not my thing.
I'm just not gonna pander, dude.
Exactly. Hey,
take it down. Apologize for that. Like, no, I didn't do anything fucking wrong, right? I didn't do anything wrong. If it's misinterpreted, I'll explain it. But I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong by this or that. Like, we came out here with the right intentions, man. And if it came off the wrong way, I'm sorry about that. I wasn't looking to offend, but I'm apologizing for the way we delivered this or for what we're saying. I just don't. You gotta stop apologizing. You can't apologize your way through life. Nobody's ever gonna fucking respect you for constantly apologizing. I thought about this the other day. I remember we had a guy who I wasn't taking any more construction jobs, and this dude was a fucking whatever, a supervisor. And you know, dude, he was like going after guys in these construction jobs. We had a lot of them every day, drive around trying to catch guys like listening to their like music while they're working construction. It was a fucking like, come on, dude, let the guy have ear pods and like the fucking machines are running anyway. Nobody's anyway. So I wasn't put in for it. So he calls me and says, I don't see your name on the list for this month to work any construction. I said, yeah, it's not on there. He goes, why? I said, I don't want to do construction anymore. It's just not for me. He goes, well, the rumor has it you got a problem with the things that I'm doing. And I said, man, a rumor might be a little true. And he goes, oh, yeah. I go, but I'm not going to fight with you about this. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I could say how I feel to your face because I'm afraid there's going to be repercussions because that's the kind of reputation you have. He goes, man to man, bro, I'll take off the lieutenant's bars. You can fucking, let's just be men right now. Let's talk about it. I said, okay, I think you're fucked up. I think you're fucked up because you did this. I think it's fucking scumbag shit to do that. We got all the fucking problems in the world, blah, blah, blah. I think you're a fucking jerk off. I think that people know that you're a fucking like, and I just let him have it, dude. And in some weird way, people are like, I don't know what you said to him, but he like really respects you. Like, yep. I don't know if you realize that, like, for some odd reason, not that I respected him tremendously, they're like, but he like, for some odd reason, has a thing for you now where he like really likes you for saying that to him. And I'm like, well, somebody had to tell him, right? What did I have to lose? I already decided I wasn't going to work construction. He was the one in control of it. I already decided I was going to work it. I forfeited literally the best paying off-duty jobs because I didn't want to deal with this guy anymore. So I just already made the decision. So what's he going to do, right? I'm in patrol. He can't take nothing away from me. What are they going to do? Where are they going to put me? And I said it to him, dude. And I'm glad that I said it. And of course, he's like, look, you know, I understand. I'm sorry. He actually, I don't know if he apologized, but he's like, let me make it up to you and give you like, you know, I got some real nice jobs coming up. I want to give them to you. And he actually started like taking care of me. I was like, and that was like my handshake back to him. Like, all right, I'll take a few jobs, right? You were willing to listen. We lay down swords, you know, again, a leopard can't change their spots. That was a moment for that guy, because I could tell you know how the rest went, but, you know, so like, you got to speak up at some point. You know, you got to get your ass kicked nonstop. You got to say something at some point. I don't know what to tell people. I'm not saying I made the best decisions my whole life, but I certainly wasn't afraid to speak my thoughts. And I knew when the right time and place was. You know, I knew that to embarrass administrators was not smart, but certainly to have the conversation of things that I saw, I was not afraid of that. I remember telling a captain, she came down and she goes, "Chief's not happy with all the new guys. We had like 26 new guys in the first year." He goes, "You know, he's not happy with it." And I raised my hand politely and I said, "Well, what's he not happy with?" She goes, "Well, production, the amount of car crashes, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing." I said, "Well, you ever look at your field trainers?" And she's like, "What do you mean?" I go, and I said, and everybody's like looking at me. I'm like 6 months on the job, right? I'm like 8 months, maybe on patrol. And I'm like, "Well, I mean, you look at your field trainers, right?" Maybe I was 2 years on the job at that time. Like, you look at your field trainers and you got this guy, you got everybody's going to day shift to go field training. And all they're doing is taking them to fucking 7-Eleven, getting free fucking sandwiches. They're taking my money runs. You're doing prisoner transports. You're doing this dumb shit. They're not learning anything. They're learning exactly how to avoid the radio, how to do as least as possible. And now you have 35 new cops who were taught by this dude. And I'm like pointing at a guy, I'm like, who every day walks in with a paper under his arm, a fucking 2 muffins in a Dunkin' Donuts bag. And that's his morning in muster while the sergeant's talking. He sits here and reads the fucking sports section. I go, "So how checked in is he?" And he's like, and these guys, you know what these old timers wanted? Their comp time. When I said that, she goes, "Well, what's your suggestion?" I go, "You know, you got guys here, right? And you got all these new guys. You have 26 of us that came on 2 years ago together, two and a half years ago. I go, "You know, I know there's this criteria, be a 3-year patrolman before you be a field training officer." I said, "But I'd rather see these new guys with us, better, the new hard chargers, than these fucking bums." And she said, "Well, put 10 names on a piece of paper. You think people should be field training officers?" So I did. Number 10 was my name. They made 9 field training officers, just so you know. Right. And like, guess what? I like was like, that was like one of my first doses of like the fuck you game in this industry. Yep. But dude, they made 9 field training officers. I eventually got picked up in FTO, right? Yeah. And it improved. Like, you put these guys with these guys. And like, guess what? At some point, those motherfuckers started getting salty. And I made a suggestion later on. I go, "Why are you forcing that guy to field train when he clearly told you he doesn't want to be a field training officer anymore? You're trying to get back at him for telling, he's just trying to be clear with you guys, he doesn't want to do it anymore. And now you're punishing him by giving a field training." I go, "What are you guys doing to that field trainer?" To the kid who's been field training. And he's like, "Yeah, I remember saying this to another captain." He's like, "Well, yeah, I never thought of it that way." I'm like, "Don't punish the guy. You don't want to fucking do it. There's 25 other guys that want to be field training officers. Let them do it." "Well, he's good though." I go, "He's good, but he's burnt. You don't want to do it anymore. These guys are decent. That's all you need is a decent guy to show you some good shit. These guys are decent. Make them field training officers." It's these simple solutions, dude.
No, that's another great point. I mean, what you just talked about is another thing. It's not just administrators. Sometimes it's just the new guy. Sometimes it's the bottom guy on the totem pole. If you're not speaking up also, you're a part of the problem too. Like you going to them saying, "Hey, your problem is this, is what people should do also." It's not just the administration. You have to be able to, as a younger officer, to go forward and be not scared and just say, "Hey, this sucks and we need to fix it."
And there were times where like, bro, when I make suggestions and they're just like, "Yeah, all right, bro, go back to your fucking black and white." Right. Like, okay. All right. You know, we got another Bonino solution in here. And just to prove like, you know, what my solutions were, I now have owned and operated and built from scratch one of the country's, if not the country's largest police training company, and we will be the largest police training company in the country. So I have a funny feeling that based on my merits and my achievements, that those suggestions are probably pretty smart. But you know your role, stay in your lane. I don't see chevrons on the, you want to bring suggestions here? You better take the sergeant's exam. Sorry, my apologies, everybody. You are not human. You are all gods. God forbid somebody who doesn't have chevrons or bars offer suggestion. Know your role. Fuck out of here, dude. All right. If you were good leaders, you would say, "Yo, you got a good idea. Bring this guy in. Let him tell everybody. Yeah. What do you think, Captain So-and-so? That's a good idea." Yeah. I don't want any recognition for it. Just fucking, just do it, man. I want to see things get better. That's it. Yo, it's good seeing you, dude.
All right, man.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then You could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher. So you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.